All of us are deeply interested in our in the welfare of our brothers and sisters in other lands. How are they coping with trials? What strengthens them to keep preaching? What can we learn from their examples? No doubt you will enjoy the talks and heartwarming video interviews in the next six-part symposium. Each speaker will introduce the one to follow. Brother Kent Knaus, former missionary, graduate of Gilead, and elder from the Edmonton Parkdale congregation, will present the first talk entitled, How Our Brothers Are Showing Courage in Africa.
Our courage grows when we see the courage of others. We learn this from the example of the Apostle Paul, what he experienced in Acts chapter 28 and verse 15. So please open your Bibles and find that verse with me. The context of this verse, or what is happening, is that Paul is nearing the end of his nearly 2,000-mile journey to Rome as a prisoner. So at this point, no doubt he is tired and even possibly discouraged. So look what happens. Acts chapter 28 and verse 15. From there, the brothers, when they heard the news about us, came as far as the marketplace of Appius and three taverns to meet us. On catching sight of them, Paul thanked God and took courage. What was the effect on Paul of seeing his brothers and sisters? Like a wilted flower, he perked up immediately. He took courage. He gained strength by seeing his brothers. During this six-part symposium, we're going to be like that wilted flower that perks up as it's being watered. We are going to gain courage by getting to travel the world and meet brothers and sisters from Africa, Asia, Europe, North America, Oceania, and South America. As we learn about their trials, let's focus on how they were able to be courageous. What scriptures strengthen them? So let's get started in Africa. Our brothers and sisters there often face extreme or intense pressure to share in customs that have been handed down for generations. When one of those customs is unacceptable to God, and we could use the example of polygamy as one such custom, that's where a man has more than one wife, then someone who has come to know the truth and wants to please Jehovah, if they're involved in such a practice or custom, they're going to have some difficult choices to make. As we watch the following video, please note the courage that our sister needed in order to harmonize her life with Jehovah's standards.
Before I came into the truth, my life was difficult. We were many women with one husband. My child had died. I got the truth through one older sister. She helped me understand what happens to people that die, including my son. I started attending the book study and came into the truth. During the course of this study, I learned that to really serve Jehovah, you cannot be part of a polygamous marriage. So I told him, staying in this situation is not in line with Jehovah's way. I have to leave. You already had a wife when I came to your house. So he said, how can you talk about leaving when you are pregnant with my child? The whole family needs to be involved in this. My family said, you have to call a village meeting. So they called everyone together. Everybody was upset with me. They said, but no one has done this before. You are the first. I said, it is not bad. I want to serve God. They gossiped a lot about me. They said, you are leaving, but you'll come back. You can't make it on your own. Just forget about her. So when I was leaving that day, I couldn't stop crying. Since my family shunned me, keeping in mind Joshua 24:15, I said, me and my children will serve Jehovah, and Jehovah will be with me wherever I go. I only packed a few personal items that I had. I left everything that was in the house. I left everything with them. We were affected by the war because while I was running away, one of my children got sick in my hands and died on the road. I had a basket for fishing that I bought. When fishing, I would sell some. Whatever I didn't sell, we ate. Sometimes I would ask my daughter, "We are so poor, Zogo. Don't you want to go back to the village?" She said, "Mama, I can't go back. I want to serve Jehovah too." Jehovah blessed me. My daughter Zogbo got baptized and later served at Bethel. Jehovah also blessed me when I got married. Our son is now an unbaptized publisher, and my husband is an elder. 1 Peter 3:1 helped me to improve my conduct. It helped my first husband to serve Jehovah too. I have no regrets. I am now happy with my decision. I tell Jehovah, "Thank you." That is why no matter what it takes, I don't want to miss meetings. I always want to attend meetings with my brothers and sisters so that we can encourage one another.
What a courageous sister. She took her stand for Jehovah. She then explained that stand to her husband, their family, then the entire village. And all the while, she faced ridicule, gossip. She was shunned. She had to leave her home and essentially all of her possessions and go out on her own with no means of supporting herself economically. Now we might think, well, that's a situation that doesn't come up here because polygamy isn't a custom that's common in this part of the world. But there are other unscriptural family arrangements that are common here, like common law marriage or unscriptural divorce. So through all of those trials, how was it that Sister Johnson was able to be resolved like Joshua, where she said, "Me and my family, we will worship Jehovah, and Jehovah will go with me everywhere we go"? Where did that kind of courage come from? It came from her heeding the counsel or the command of Jesus, found at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 36 through 39. Let's look at that verse together. And as we read this verse, that's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36 through 39, let's ask ourselves, what is Jesus telling me to do? "Indeed, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever has greater affection for father or mother than for me is not worthy of me. And whoever has greater affection for son or daughter than for me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not accept his torture stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his soul will lose it, and whoever loses his soul for my sake will find it." What do we need to do? Cultivate deep love for Jehovah and Jesus. If our meditation and prayer is focused on strengthening our love for Jehovah and Jesus, then we too will have the courage necessary to make any changes in our life to avoid or stop unscriptural family practices. Another test for our brothers and sisters in Africa is the pressure to engage in unscriptural funeral customs. Now, these can include things like idolatry, ancestor worship, the view of the immortality of the soul, and spiritism. As we watch the following video, observe the courage it took for our sister to resist this pressure.
"I accepted the truth before my husband. His family members opposed me because I helped my husband to become a witness. That is why they never came to our aid when he was sick. My children and I took care of him on our own until his death. The chief asked me to perform some funeral rites. I explained that I could not perform those rites, so the chief banished me from the town, along with my family. So I informed the elders, and they consulted the branch. The case was reported to the police. One Tuesday morning, we heard a lot of noise coming from town, but did not know why. Soon the noise got louder, coming towards us. As the commotion reached us, my sister-in-law approached first, beating a tray with me. She then told me to my face, "Agnes, you have caused disgrace. We have never heard anything like this before. Disgrace." Soon thereafter, we heard a knock-knock. Two policemen had arrived. I couldn't flee from the situation because my fellow worshippers would face the same issue in the future. Therefore, I decided to stay and face it until the case was resolved. When our case was called up, my family members and I were present. I was allowed to tell my version of the matter, which I did. The inspector warned the chief seriously, reminding him that this matter is about an individual's human rights. The chief responded, "Okay, then she should not exchange greetings with me until my death." I thanked the officers and the chief for resolving the matter. What helped me to stand firm during the persecution was regular Bible reading, regularly attending Christian meetings, and completely relying on Jehovah. There are not many in the congregation who stay in town, but we have brothers from surrounding villages who, when they come to the meetings in town, come visit to encourage me after the meetings. Jehovah said that they will certainly fight against you, but they will not prevail against you, for I am with you. Since Jehovah was on my side, when they fought against me, they did not prevail. With Jehovah's help, they did not prevail.
Where did our sister Amoa get that courage from? Did you notice how her love for her brothers and sisters motivated her? She couldn't run away, because if she did, she knew one of her brothers or sisters would have to face that same trial. How about the provisions from Jehovah through the congregation? The warm help from the elders, giving counsel and encouragement, the assistance of the branch office. How about the actions that she recommended? Do you remember the three that she said she did? Regular Bible reading, her meeting attendance, and also total reliance on Jehovah. Let's take a look at the verse that she quoted and personified in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 20. And as we read this verse together, let's focus in on where did Sister Amoa's courage come from and where will our courage come from. This is Jehovah speaking. "I am making you a fortified copper wall to this people. They will certainly fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and to rescue you, declares Jehovah." Unscriptural funeral practices are common throughout the world, whether it's things like wake keeping, funeral anniversaries, sacrifices to the dead, or even widowhood rites. But whether it is that we're facing one of these or any other unscriptural custom, this scripture is telling us that we are not alone. Even if it is that the pressures we're facing are too great for us to stand against on our own, Jehovah is telling us that he is right there with us to strengthen us, just like the reinforcement in a wall. So what have we learned? Well, by getting to meet Sister Amoa and Sister Johnson, We've seen that even during the emotionally challenging times of losing a loved one in death, we can be courageous and bring honor to Jehovah. We've also seen that if we show our courage by upholding Bible principles in our family life and putting Jehovah first no matter what, that Jehovah will not abandon us. Rather, He is going to empower us to maintain our integrity.